Helps to have it on. All right. Shalom, everyone. This is Rabbi Joe. I want to welcome you to Lion of Judah, our Yehuda Messianic Congregation. We'll be getting started in a couple minutes. Until then, just relax and enjoy your Shabbat. And we're glad you're with us today. We're folks who are here. We're glad you're here today, too. Amen. How you doing, sweet pea? You okay? Amen. How you doing, brother? Amen. Hey, Earl. All right, so we'll be getting underway shortly, and do we have any tissues? Is there a box of tissues?
To bring us life abundantly. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Just like it was in the garden. Well, maybe not just like.
I was going to say in Boston, the garden.
In the garden. From the Garden of Eden. Hallelujah. That's where the Messiah will take you, to this garden. So, Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam asher natan lanu et Yeshua b'mashiach Yeshua. Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has given us the way of salvation in Messiah Yeshua. Amen. Prostrate myself and bow, bend the knee before the Lord my Maker. And as for me, may my prayers to you, O Lord, be at the right time. O God, in your abundant righteousness, answer me with the truth of your salvation.
Amen. Now we're going to do the Bishamru, and that's page 45 in your Siddur or on the screen. Vishamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat lasod et ha-shabbat ledorotam barit olam. Vishamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat lasod et ha-shabbat ledorotam barit olam. B'nei u'b'nei, b'nei Yisrael, b'nei Yisrael, odhi le'olam. V'shamru, b'nei Yisrael, et ha-shabbat, la'sod et ha-shabbat, le'dorotam barit olam. Ki sheshet yamim, asa Adonai, Shemayim v'et haaretz v'shamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat lasod et ha-shabbat ledorotam barit olam. V'yom ha-shvi shabbat v'nafash shabbat v'nafash Shabbat v'nafash v'shamru b'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat lasod et ha-shabbat ledorotam barit olam.
The children of Israel shall keep the Shabbat,
observing it throughout their generations as an everlasting covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Shabbat to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord.
Jerusalem.
Bethlehem. Pray for Jerusalem, that there'll be peace, not war.
For the peace of Jerusalem today and for the rabbis and the messianic leaders.
Yes. Father Yeshua, we come before you this morning, Lord, and we just ask, God, that you would let peace fill Jerusalem, Lord. Peace fill that place, Lord, that the walls would keep the enemy out, Lord, and scatter the enemy, Lord, that tries to come against Jerusalem, Lord, and take their peace from them. Lord, we just ask, God, that you would protect all of Israel, Lord, all the rabbis, Lord, that when cars try to come into them, Lord, that you would cause them to wreck before they touch them, Lord, or knives to be turned, missiles, God. We just come against all of that, Yeshua, that you would protect them, Lord. Place that hedge of protection around of all the rabbis in Israel, Lord, all the Jewish people. And, Lord, we just pray for the rabbis in our own nation, God. God, that you would strengthen them, Lord. And cause them, Lord, to lead us in the direction you would have us to go today and forever, Lord. That we must stand with the Jewish people. And we realize that, Lord. Yeshua, we just thank you for it. In your holy name.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Father.
And now the Lord says, he who formed Israel in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and gather Israel to himself, for he is honored in the eyes of the Lord, and God has been his strength. Is it too small a thing for Israel to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob, and bring back those of Israel he has kept? He will also make Israel a light for the Gentiles, that he may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth.
Be gracious, O Lord our God, to your people, Israel, and accept. stand for the Shema.
Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Shem Kivod, Malchuto Leolam Vaed. V'ahavta et Adonai Elohecha בכל לבבך ובכל נפשך ובכל מאודך, והיו הדברים האלה אשר אנוכי מצווך היום על לבבך, ושינתם לבניך, ודיברת בם בשבתך בביתך, ובלכתך בדרך, ובשכבך ובקומך, וקשרתם להיות על ידיך, והיו לטפטפות בין עיניך, וכתבתם על מזוזות ביתך ובשעריך.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Blessed is the name of his glorious kingdom for all eternity. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might, and have these words which I command you this day be upon your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children, and speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you retire, and when you arise. And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, let them be frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and upon your gates.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Pick two.
Okay, well, since it's his last day with us for a while, I'm going to ask Dante to carry the Torah Greg, you haven't carried it in a while. Would you like to carry the Torah today? You follow Dante. All right. Following Dante. Sounds like a movie. Charlie, would you open the ark? Sheltecha b'chol dor v'dor, Adonai melech, Adonai malach, Adonai imloch le'olam v'ed, Adonai l'mo yitain, Adonai yivarech et amo v'shalom. There is none like you among the gods, O Lord, and there is nothing like your works. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion is throughout all generations. The Lord reigns, the Lord has reigned, the Lord will reign forever and ever. The Lord will give strength unto his people, the Lord will bless his people with peace.
Yahyem and Moshe, Kurna Adonai, Vifutsu Oybecha, Vianusu Misanecha, Mipanecha, Ki Mitzion Tetze Torah, Ki Mitzion Tetze Torah, Udavar Adonai, Mierushalayim. Baruch Shenatan Torah Torah, Baruch Shenatan Torah Torah, Le'amo Yisrael, Bidushato.
When the ark would travel, Moses would say, Arise, O Lord, and let your enemies be scattered, and let them that hate you flee from you. For from Zion will go forth the Torah, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Blessed be he who in his holiness gave the Torah to his people Israel. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Ya'amod. Asher ben Zedekiah. Baruch hu et Adonai hamora.
Baruch Adonai
hamrachi olam va'ed.
Baruch Adonai Eloheinu melech ha'olam.
Asher bachar banu mikol hamim. Ve'natan lanu et torato. Baruch Adonai noten ha'torah. Amen. Bless the Lord, the Blessed One. Blessed is the Lord, the Blessed One for all eternity.
Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe,
who has chosen us
from all peoples and given us his Torah.
Blessed are you, O Lord, giver of the Torah. Amen.
Amen.
That's how we say it down here in Kingtown.
Okay. Okay, today's Torah portion is a Kev. And it's God is talking about a heel. And hopefully you've never been called a heel. I got some thoughts at the last minute, and I tore a piece of paper out of a book, and it looks like I ate part of it, but sometimes
that
happens.
You got a little excited.
Yeah. One of these last-minute things. So I scribbled. I bet I can't read it. Oh, well. It's from Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 12 through 11, and we're moving closer to the feast. We're a few weeks away, and some things about a heel that I had to write down at the last moment here. You know, your heels have an advantage over the rest of your body. I didn't realize that. Yeah, the heels are yield easy to the will of your body. I didn't think about that, but I was thinking if you run a pan of hot water or cold water, what you're probably going to do, you're not going to stick your face in it, you're not probably going to stick your hand in it. You probably, if you're like me, you're going to put your heel down in it, see if it's real hot. So it lacks sensitivity. Your heel lacks sensitivity. And is it because it's the farthest part of your body from your brain and your heart or your soul? You see, I think God structured the heel to express our inner will, because your heart expresses your inner will, and your heel helps you make that. See, we must hearken to God's instructions. You know, and the question I could ask you this morning is, what does God want of each of us today? What does he want? Does he want us to be held in awe of him all the time? Or does he want us to keep his commandments, and so all good will be yours? That's what God says. All the good will be yours if you obey my commandments. Just like the Israelites, we will listen and we will obey. And God says, I will give you all the good that I have. You know, in the Torah, you know, you can never get tired of reading it. The Torah, it never grows old. It's always new and refreshing every day. And it also pertains to today. When you get up on Monday morning and you go to work and you read God's word, it will pertain to the world for that day. You see, the joy of the mitzvah must be ingrained in our minds. It must become a part of our daily lives. And of course, that's God's word. We should be inseparable from our living from God's word. It's just like, it should be a part of us, just like eating, breathing, and sleeping is a part of our daily lives. So should God's word. You know, the reward of God's word is God's word itself. The mitzvah is the reward of God's word. We all should be guardians of God's word. We should all look to God's word. What happens when you obey God's word? He will love you. He will bless you. He will bless the fruit of your body. He will remove all illnesses from you. And it says he will place the illnesses upon your enemies. And that's still true today. God will take care of you. And when you talk about a heal, there are several mentions in the scripture about heals. And I think the first one's in is in Genesis 3:15. And it's actually a prophecy about the Messiah coming, because it talks about the heel that would be bruised, and it also speaks about the Messiah would crush the head of the serpent. He would crush the head of Satan, and that would be also with his heel. And we find in the Torah also that Jacob was a heel grabber. When he was born, he was holding on to his brother Esau's heel when they came out of his mother's womb. He was holding to his brother's heel. And God had already told her that within her wombs, as it is today, was two great nations. And those nations, those peoples, are still evident today. You see, God took Israel into the wilderness to show them to his trust and to have them rely totally upon him, because they would lack nothing. And that's where he made the covenant. You know, to a lot of people, when they view Israel, they don't see the connection between the land of Israel, the Jewish people, and the Bible. They see Israel as just a place that has a lot of desert, it has a lot of barrenness, it has a lot of sand, it has a lot of rocks, and it has a lot of antiquated antiquities, things that happened thousands of years ago. People don't see the relevance of Israel today. But they need to remember that God, that's the only place in the whole universe God made a covenant of the land. He didn't make a covenant in New York City. He didn't make a covenant in France, Paris, or in Rome. Any of those are beautiful places. But God's only covenant in the whole universe is in the land of Israel. When you grasp that, it's a covenant that is still in place today, because God's word says it will never pass until every word is completely fulfilled. So when they went into the land of Israel, God told them it was a land of milk and honey. It was a land that had wheat, it had barley, it had figs, it had grapes, it had pomegranates, it had olives, it had dates. It had all the things that they would need, but they would have to cultivate the land. The miracle of the manna and all of the other things that God was giving them stopped when they crossed the Jordan River. And God says you must trust God and obey him. And so we see, when you trust and obey him, we should love him, fear him, follow him, serve him, and most of all, we should love him and honor him. You see, even though it's talking about the heel is the lowest part of your body, and your body's going to be where your heel's at. That's where you're going to be. And just like the Torah points us in direction of things of God, the heel is your bottom line. Your heel bears your burdens of life is on your heel, if you think about it. A lot of people rock on their heel and stuff like that, or if you're standing for a long time, you may lean back on your heel. It bears your burdens. And so God says when you bear the burdens, he says no man can stand against you. Remember, it was on Yeshua bore our burdens on his heel, because that's where we find that the scripture of Genesis says he would be bruised, his heel was pierced for our sins. Shabbat Shalom.
Asher Sam Moshe Lifnei Bnei Israel Al Pi Adonai Biyad Moshe
And this is the Torah that Moses placed before the children of Israel at the command of the Lord through Moses' hands.
Those who hold fast to her, and all who uphold her are blessed. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Cause us to be turned to you, O Lord, and we shall return. Renew our days as of old.
Amen. You may be seated.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Shabbat Shalom, everyone.
Shabbat Shalom.
And welcome once again to Ari Yehuda Messianic Congregation in Bristol, Virginia. And I think we're all family here in the house today, but I do want to welcome everyone online, those of you joining us on the live stream. And just please keep us in if you'd like to sign up for our regular mailings and things. All you've got to do is click on the contact us and we'll sign you up for the newsletter. We'll let you know what's going on. We'll send you emails. And we'd love to hear from you, and please let us know how you're enjoying the service. We'd also love to have visitors, anyone who's in this area and can come. And we just want to encourage you to come and support Israel. This is your connection to Israel in the Tri-Cities and the Mountain Empire area. And it's your opportunity to serve and to be a part of the work in Israel. So we encourage you to support Israel through your local Messianic congregation. And that goes for wherever you are in the country. Please support your local Messianic congregation and the rabbi there. But you're welcome to come here and visit. Amen? Hallelujah. Just a couple of announcements. Otherwise, we have some upcoming events. Roy Kendall and his wife Mary, I'm not sure if she is traveling with him, but they will be here to speak next Saturday. So I'll be sending out some communication about that this week. Roy has been an emissary and planted in Israel for over 20, maybe 30, so that's 20, 30, almost 30 years, and they have a music ministry, and they have all kinds of outreach and helps ministry in Jerusalem. They live there, and they do all sorts of things, and they also host people coming to visit the land. So a lot of things going on, and with the Kendalls, and I know you'll be interested to hear what they have to say. So please come, invite a friend. If you know some neighbors who are interested in Israel, just invite them. This is their opportunity to learn more about what's going on over there. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Today we've got Oneg. Today is Crockpot Shabbat.
Crockpot Shabbat.
Everybody say Crockpot Shabbat. And so we're going to have a nice meal together. And we're also celebrating Dante's send-off to college. And we want to give him a hearty send-off and love on him. And we're just so proud of you, Dante. You're just like a shining jewel in our crown. And amen? Praise the Lord. So there's a card going around. Please take care of that before Oneg, and then we'll celebrate during that time, okay, and probably pray for him. And so please lift him up and bless him as he goes to this next opens this next chapter in his life for his future and everything he's going to be doing in life. Amen. Preparation. A lot of life is about preparation, and we have to go through the preparation, don't we? It's very important that you make good grades in school and that you take the opportunities God gives you, and you are good stewards of those opportunities. Amen. Hallelujah, because you will reap the benefits. All right, don't forget about prayer on Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. And I do want to say, speaking of Wednesday, I want to thank Wendell, because last Wednesday we had an awesome day over here. How many of you noticed that the holes in our parking lot were nicely patched up? Amen. Woo! Woo! Hallelujah. So I want to thank Wendell and who else helped. Everybody stand up who helped with the patching. I think William was here.
David.
Charlie and David, who's not here. And so they had a great time, and they got it done really quickly. I mean, they were done by a little bit after lunchtime, weren't you? So it was really not a big deal. So Wendell's going to be also doing some other little projects from time to time, so stay tuned for all of that.
I want to give a praise report. Our the building, the payments of our mortgage are down. I don't know, somebody must have made a payment or something. I can't figure out how we got down to $88,000, but our payment is down to $88,000 on this property. And let's praise the Lord. That's good. Last time I looked, it was like, you know, 105 or something, and now, you know, like about a year later, it's 88,000. It was like somebody must have gone to the bank and made a gift or something. I don't know, but I really have no idea. We weren't getting statements. They were sending them to our old ministry address, and they stopped sending them. And Dawn went to the bank, and she got an updated statement because she wasn't getting any. And it had gone down so much. Thank God it didn't go up.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God for his provision. Amen. Yes, Madame.
Let's pay that sucker off.
Woo! Yes. Yes, Madonna.
Hallelujah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Would you please stand up? What's your name again, honey? Madison, right. Madison, we want to welcome Madison to us. That's my oversight. That's her son's daughter, Rusty, and so we're glad to have you with us today. Amen. We have lots of kids with us, and I want you guys to pray, speaking of the children and the youth ministry, we need to pray because we really need to add some teachers. Brenda is coming up with some surgery, and she's going to be out for a little while. So we also want to pray for her surgery coming up. But at the same time, we're going to be needing children's ministers to step in. So please be in prayer about that. Please be in prayer for Aja. I think she has a surgery coming up as well. Is that right? Okay, so continue to pray for Aja, just the continual difficulties there. And she's got a minor surgery on her toe on Tuesday, and her blood pressure. So we really need to pray that her blood pressure comes down back to normal levels. Amen? That's all I have. I do want to plan a meeting because we have the fall feast coming up, and we want to make sure that we're all on the same page. So I'm going to be Rabbi and I are going to get on the same page, and then we want to have a meeting for the congregation, those who are in leadership. So please stay tuned for that. You know, we'll have a meeting soon about all the things that are coming up in the fall. And of course, Rosh Hashanah starts on September 20th. And those of you who are in leadership position, please be thinking about that, all the things that need to be changed and addressed and done before that season starts. And it's a time of revival. It's a time God's going to be speaking to us. We've got signs in the heavens coming. That's actually coming. The first sign, heavenly sign, is coming, what, next Monday at 2:30 is the solar eclipse. So, you know, there's God's speaking to us in ways, and we need to open our spiritual ears to understand. And this year is very important to mark your calendar for the fall feast, because I believe there's prophetic understanding that only God is giving through the Jewish people and through his prophetic word. And so please make, you know, a priority to be in the house of the Lord in his on his feasts. Amen? And that's all I have. I'll turn it back over to you, Rabbi. Please stay tuned, because the Rabbi is going to be giving his message in about 45 minutes. And so stay tuned. There's more to come.
Okay. Shalom, everyone. We are going to bring our tithes and offerings, and so we're going to pray over that. The Lord says in Malachi chapter 3, he says, "Test me in this, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, so that there will be bread in my house." And he makes it very clear. People, a lot of people are unclear where to bring their tithe. But I found out a long time ago when he says, "In my house, bring it to my house." So I learned a hard way by bringing my tithes elsewhere. And but if you're watching with us today and you don't have a home, if you don't have a congregation where you are, if you're out there somewhere in no man's land and you need a place to tithe to, if you watch us, you're welcome to donate and give to the Lord. There's a donate button on our website, and you can do that online. We're glad you're with us. Please let us know if you enjoyed the service. Just say something on Facebook or email us from our website address, and let us know you're out there. We want to know, and we want to say hello to you. And God bless you today. God bless you as you worship with us. We're going to have the Lord's table in a little while. You can prepare some juice and some matzah or crackers or something. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this Shabbat. We delight in your Shabbat, Lord. We delight in you. We don't have to do Shabbat, Lord. We get to. Amen. We don't have to do it, Lord. We get to do Shabbat. And we just thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that we have to come here, and we get to do it. Thank you, God. What a blessing it is. We delight in your Shabbat. Lord, now bless these offerings 100-fold, Lord. Bless the giver and bless the gift. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Lord, pay off that $88,000 on the mortgage, Lord. Pay it down quickly, Lord. Pay it off. We pray, Lord, that you do that. And Lord, I pray for those who need Brenda for her operation, that you'd prepare her, Lord, and that you would help her and prepare her for the operation. I pray for a quick healing. Lord, I pray also that you take care of her. Is it your mom that you're with? That you take care of her mom while Brenda's going through it. Somebody takes care of Brenda. Lord, send somebody to take care of Brenda. And Lord, pray for Aja, for her blood pressure to go down, and prepare her for this procedure that she's going to have on her foot. Lord, that she'd be, her vitals would be good, and that she'd be strong enough. Lord, help her through that. And I pray for Karen Gaby, Lord. I pray she is a caretaker for her parents, and she works a job, Lord. I understand what it is, how difficult, and what a heavy job it is to be a caretaker for elderly parents, or to be a single mom. Lord, you know, I've been a single mom before. No, just kidding. Okay, I haven't really. But We just pray for the single moms, Lord. Seriously, they go through a lot. It is really rough to be a single mom. So we just bless them and pray for them today. And ask this. And I pray for the rabbis who are sick. I pray for my friend Jeff Adler for complete healing. Lord, that you restore him to health. I pray, Lord, for... my friend Lynn Feinberg in St. Louis, Lord, who lost her husband, and that you just comfort her and help her. She was having trouble getting his Social Security, and she was struggling financially. I pray for all the rabbis who are struggling, Lord, that you would heal them, that you would strengthen them, and that you would meet their needs, whether they be financial or otherwise, Lord. Just thank you in Yeshua's name. Amen. Let's bring our tithes and offerings.
Oh,
out to him. Call on your God. He will give an answer. Call on your God. He will answer you. When you call on your God, he will answer. Call on your God. In that day, call on the God. Yeshua,
prepare ourselves to go to the Lord's table. If you're watching on at home on the internet, if you'd like to join us, if you have some crackers or matzah, if you have some juice, you prepare yourself to join us at this time. And hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. We'll just prepare our hearts to come to the Lord's table. On the night he was betrayed, Yeshua took the third cup of the Passover meal, known as the cup of redemption. He said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sin." Hallelujah. On that same Passover night, Yeshua took plate of matzah. He took the middle layer of the three pieces of matzah called the afikomen, and he broke it, and he gave that middle layer to his disciples. And that afikomen, that piece of that middle layer of the three called the unity, is always given after the meal. And it's given after the meal on Passover, along with, it's taken together with the third cup of wine. And it's at every single Passover meal, whenever you go, wherever you go in the world, it's always taken, the bread, that broken piece of bread that you read about in Luke 22, and the cup are taken together in remembrance of the body and blood. Well, we believers take it in remembrance of the body and blood of Yeshua, of the Lamb of God. Traditional Jewish people just call it dessert. To them, it's dessert. And then we eat it. You know, growing up, we used to just eat it, call it dessert, but then they'd bring out the real dessert. We eat a piece of matzah, drink a cup of wine, and they'd bring out the angel food cake with the strawberries, you know, the stewed strawberries, or they'd bring out some kind of, you know, brownies without leaven or chocolate mousse or something. That was the real dessert, Deborah. But anyway, well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So we invite at our Yehuda, Lion of Judah Messianic Congregation, we are Jewish people and non-Jewish people who worship Yeshua. That's the Hebrew name for Jesus. We worship him in spirit and in truth. No one is saved. We don't believe anyone is saved by works or by legalism. We believe we are saved by grace through faith and faith alone, and that there is no right. We have no righteousness of our own. There is nothing we can do to earn our salvation. There's no good deed. There's no charity we can give to. It's just faith in the Messiah, believing in him. That is our salvation. And before we come, let's just bow our heads for a minute. If there's anyone here, if you don't know Yeshua, close your eyes. Let's all just close our eyes. If you don't know Yeshua, just raise your hand and indicate to me, "Rabbi, I don't know Yeshua. I don't know Jesus." If you don't know Yeshua, just raise your hand. Hallelujah. Anyone here? Janice, are you raising your hand? Praise the Lord. If you're at home and you're raising your hand, all you have to do is just ask the Lord to forgive your sins. Just tell him you've messed up. "Lord, I've broken your laws. I've messed up my life, and I need you to come into my life. And I believe that you sent your son. I believe that Yeshua, that Jesus is the Messiah. And I invite Jesus to come into my life and clean it up, Lord. Clean me up and forgive my sins and come inside of me. Put your spirit in me and write my name in your book of life right now, wherever I am, where you're standing. You can be in your car, in your living room, your bedroom, your shower, or taking a walk in the backyard or out in the woods, wherever you're watching. You can invite the Lord into your life, and just that's all you have to do. Get yourself a Bible, and find yourself a place to worship. Ask the Lord to show you, to lead you to a church or a messianic synagogue near you, or you can worship with us. But God bless you. And I'm going to ask Brenda, would you like to come and serve before you go off on your journey? Oh, it's a month or so away. Okay, I don't know. I had it mistaken. And Deborah, would you like to come and serve again? Hallelujah. Let's just prepare our hearts. If you have sin or unconfessed sin that you need to deal with before you come to the Lord's table, this is a good time to get right with God. Just let's confess our sins. Thank you. What? No, it's okay. It's all right.
Today. Just give it to him.
Call the children to come forward and adults to come and gather around them. Wow, what you got there, buddy. Man, wish I had me a couple of those. Can I have those? You have one? No, kid. Did you bring it with you? Why not? You forgot it today?
May the Lord protect and defend you. May He always shield you from
shame. Let's just stretch our hands out to the kids.
May you come to be in Israel a shining day. May you be like Ruth and like David. May you be deserving of praise. Strengthen us, O Lord, and keep us
Father, we just thank you for the kids, those who are here and those who are not with us today. Lord, we bless them. We thank you, Lord, that they are... Let's stop that now. Okay. We thank you, Lord, that they are arrows in our quiver, that they are the beginning of our strength, and they are our heritage. And we thank you, Lord, that that you equip them and help them to do well in school, give them direction in their lives, give them success in all that they put their hands to, Lord. Help them to hear your voice when you say, "This is the way, walk ye in it. Do not turn to the right or the left." Hallelujah. But stay on the straight and narrow path. Lord, help them in their athletics and sports. Give them success and favor and strength and wisdom and humility. Just bless them as they go to class now, Lord. Anoint their ears to hear, to receive the word a hundredfold. Anoint their teachers. Let the words of their mouths be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, I pray. And if there's anyone here who feels called, if you're good with children and you've been here for a while, talk to Don. We need help teaching the kids. So please, if you're not serving in any capacity, we do need help teaching the children. And so we ask that you would come see Miss Don or see Madonna. Talk to Don or Madonna, and please help teach the kids, Lord. We need that. That's a very high calling to do that. Children, you are dismissed in Yeshua's name. Amen. All right. Yeah, I'm good. Thank you, Charlie. Praise the Lord. Well, it's good to see some folks we haven't seen in a while. It's Janice is with us today. Janice, we welcome. Janice, what's your last name? Janice Wolf. Wolf with an E. Janice Wolf with an E at the end. Janice, would you stand up and let the people know who you are? Let's give a round of applause. Hallelujah. And Janice was with us for several years when we used to meet at the Manna Bagel Company. Then she moved away for, gosh, what, about 8 years, 9 years? You were gone? Yeah. It's good to see you. So, and it's good to see the Bledsoe family with us today. Welcome. Praise the Lord. Bill and Jennifer and Grayson. That's right, Grayson. Amen. Now, hallelujah. Grayson, were you the lifeguard this summer?
Yes.
Did you ever get the pool fixed?
We didn't get the pool fixed.
That's good. That's good. I didn't know how that turned out, but just wanted to make sure. All right. Well, today's message is partly based on the Parsha, which is the Torah reading. It's called "How Shall I Come Before the Lord?" We want to welcome the folks on Facebook. Hi, folks on Facebook, and welcome. If you turn with me, if you guys have your Bibles, to Deuteronomy 7. There's a lot of confusion today in the body of Messiah about what God requires of people, and so it says in Micah 6, and I'll just read that for a second. It says, "How shall I come before the Lord? Shall I come bringing calves or thousands of rams? Shall I offer for my sin my firstborn son?" And then it says, "He has told you, O man, what is good, but doing justly, walking humbly before the Lord your God, and doing what's right, and being humble before God, coming before the Lord with humility, loving mercy, it says, to love mercy. Loving mercy, being merciful to people, being just. That means being walking in holiness. Just means holiness, walking in a holy way before God. Sinless. That means, you know, walking as sinless as you can be. And then the third thing is walking humbly, being lowly, not thinking more of yourself than you should. Okay, so how should I come before the Lord? And he has told you, O man, what is good, doing justly, loving mercy, walking humbly before the Lord your God. Okay, so today we see the children of Israel are about to enter the land, and Moses is preparing them. And in today's Parsha, Ekev, beginning in Deuteronomy 7:12, the word means of Ekev means if you follow. It also relates back to what Anthony was talking about, the heel of Jacob had grabbed onto Esau's heel. But it really means if you follow, like follow on the heels of. Have you ever heard that expression? To follow on the heels of, you know, you're kind of following on the heels of those who've gone before you, or somebody's just gone ahead of you. You're following on the heels of them. So it means if you follow, or it also means as a consequence of. So in today's Parsha in Deuteronomy, let's start in Deuteronomy 7. We'll start in verse 9, and we'll just read a little bit. Know therefore that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God, who keeps his covenant and his loving kindness to a thousandth generation with those who love him and keep his commandments, but repays those who hate him to their faces. To destroy them he will not delay with him who hates him. He will repay him to his face. Therefore you shall keep the commandment and the statutes and the judgments which I am commanding you today to do them. And then it shall come about, because you listen to these judgments and keep and do them, that the Lord your God will keep with you his covenant and his loving kindness which he swore to your forefathers. He will love you and bless you and multiply you. He will also bless the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your ground, your grain and your new wine, your oil and increase of your herd and the young of your flock, and the land which he swore to your forefathers to give you. So you shall be blessed above all peoples. There will be no male or female barren among you or among your cattle. The Lord will remove all your sickness, and he will not put on you any of the harmful diseases of Egypt which you have known, but he will lay them on all who hate you. You shall consume all the peoples whom the Lord your God will deliver to you. Your eye shall not pity them, nor shall you serve their gods, for that would be a snare to you. And he goes on. So it's interesting. This is from the Torah. A lot of people think the Torah is legalism, but here's incredible blessings that God is talking about for people who follow the Torah. But the Torah was given to the children of Israel, not to the Gentiles. And that's why when the Gentiles reject the Torah, get this, when the non-Jewish believers, called the church, reject the Torah, God has given them totally different holidays. God has given them totally different observances. And the only thing they share is the moral law. The only thing, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that, but because the church kicked the Jews out, you didn't do it, your pastor didn't do it, your papa didn't do it, but because the church kicked the Jews out in the 4th century, Constantine, Eusebius, Bishop Victor, Chrysostom, Augustine, because they rejected the Jewish people and kicked them out of the early assembly of the saints, of the believers, the congregation, God gave the Gentile the time of the Gentiles, he gave them their own Torah. He gave them their own laws. And they made their own laws. They made Christmas instead of Easter. They made Christmas instead of Hanukkah. They made Easter instead of Passover. They created their own festivals. Actually, what they did was they took pagan festivals and they Christianized them. Easter was a pagan festival celebrating the Egyptian god Isis and goddess Isis, who, if you look in the hieroglyphics, her symbols are the bunny rabbit and the Easter lily, and I don't want to get into all that, but that's what happens. So when people reject, but when you come among, Numbers 15 tells us that for the sojourner, for the foreigner who sojourns with the Jewish people, Numbers 15, the sojourner who dwells among the Jewish people, there shall be one law, it says in Numbers 15, verse 14. There shall be one Torah for the foreigner, the stranger, the sojourner, who dwells with the Jewish people, gives them the right, Numbers 15 tells us, they shall be no different. They can bring a sacrifice before God, an offering. They can celebrate the feast, Shabbat. All these things that were meant for Israel are free to anyone in the world who dwells with the Jewish people. That's the only requirement God has. If you dwell among, if you put your shoulder to the plow with the Jewish people, especially the Messianic Jews, because we're the believing Jews, so we're the ones God wants you to sojourn with. So let's continue on. If you follow his Torah, because that's the word ekev means, if you follow God's Torah, he is specifically referring to the children of Israel, to whom he gave the law, the terms of his covenant with the Jewish people. Ever since I was a child, I have been aware of Jews, members of Orthodox Judaism, such as the Lubavitch, the Satmar, the Hasidim, who believe that Jews must observe the 613 positive and negative commandments of the Torah in order to be righteous. The Orthodox Jewish people, the Hasidim, the Lubavitch, the Chabad, the Satmar Jews, they believe that you must observe the 613 positive and negative commandments of the Torah in order to be righteous. In fact, these Orthodox are so strict that they have built what is known as the wall around the Torah, the wall around the Torah. So they've built a wall around the Torah. Let me explain what that is. In other words, they have added rules and laws and ordinances to ensure that people don't break a commandment, such as celebrating the feast of Rosh Hashanah, the first fall feast, Rosh Hashanah. It's for 2 days. They celebrate it for 2 days when the Bible says celebrate it for 1 day. But the Jews celebrate it for 2 days. Why? Because they put a wall around the Torah. Why did they do that? Well, let me tell you. When on Rosh Hashanah, it's a new moon, and a new moon is black. You can't see it. It's very dark out, and the first day of the new moon is almost invisible. You can't see the moon. So just to make sure they don't get the wrong day, to make sure they didn't mess up, they added a day, a second day, just to make sure that they put a wall around the Torah so they didn't break God's law. They added a second day to the holiday. Okay, let's look at another example. Would be not eating or drinking anything in a non-kosher restaurant. So Jewish people, or Orthodox Jews, unless it's a kosher restaurant or a glatt kosher establishment, they will not even drink a glass of water. They bring their food with them when they travel on the highway. They have coolers, and they stop and have picnics along the side of the road. They do not stop at McDonald's or Flying J's or Perkins or different restaurants, Denny's, whatever. You'll never see one in there eating because it's not kosher. And they won't eat anything. They won't even have a glass of water. In fact, they wouldn't even come into a secular Jewish or a Reform or conservative Jew's home and have a glass of water. They would not you know, and I saw that. I saw an Orthodox rabbi. I got a funny story for you. My grandmother died, and her rabbi was very Orthodox, very devout Orthodox rabbi, and my aunt was Orthodox too, but she went to a bakery in a town called Brookline, a very Jewish town in near Boston. She went to a bakery and she got these wonderful pecan rolls that she loved. I used to love them too. They're great. Now they're kosher. They're just not glot kosher. Glot means super kosher. You know, they have to be blessed by like super rabbi with like a super tully. You know, if they're not blessed by the right rabbi or whatever, then they're not glot kosher. And so this rabbi that she was buying the pecan rolls for the, you know, the little, have a little food after the funeral, you know, he would only eat glot kosher. So my mother, my aunts, they assured him all the food that was glot kosher, everything was okay. So he came to the house, but these pecan rolls weren't. He says, "Oh, I love these pecan rolls." And the women found out, my aunts and my mother, you know, rebuked her, actually it was her aunt. She said, "Rose, those pecan rolls are not glot kosher. You served them to the rabbi." Well, they're like, "Well, he's eating them now, so you know, I'm not going to tell him." Okay, so let's go on. So they don't even want to touch you. If you go to Israel, they don't want to shake your hand. They don't want you to touch them. They don't want you to. They think that they'll be defiled by having any contact with you. You know, they have this fear of becoming unclean. The Bible has laws about priests, about the priests and the high priest not touching a dead body. Okay. But somebody has to touch a dead body. I mean, somebody's going to bury it, you know. And about not hanging with pagans. You know, Jews in the Bible were not supposed to go into Gentile homes. They were not supposed to eat with Gentiles. You can see that in Acts chapter 10 and 11 when Peter goes to Cornelius' home. Peter doesn't want to go. He says, "Lord, I've never eaten anything unclean." You know, he resists going into the home of a non-Jew. And even the Roman centurion in Luke chapter 7, when the Roman centurion tells Yeshua that his servant is sick, Yeshua starts to go immediately to his house, and the man says, "No, Lord, don't go into my house. I'm unworthy to have you come into my house. I'm unclean. But if you just say the words, my servant will be healed." And Yeshua says, "Wow, greater faith have I not seen in all Israel." And he healed the man right then and there. So we can see that there's a wall around the law that the Jews have put. Yeshua used, and he was dealing with that in the New Testament. He would rebuke them. He says, "You tithe cumin and dill, but you neglect the weightier portions of the law." In other words, you create these little rules and you make up these things. You know that it's. They said it wasn't right to heal on the Sabbath. That's a wall around the Torah. They said it's in the New Testament. They said it's against the law to heal on the Sabbath. Where in the Torah does it say you can't heal on the Sabbath? But they felt it was work. To heal would be work. And so therefore, you can't do any work on the Sabbath. So if you heal somebody, you're doing work. And therefore, you're breaking the law. These guys aren't thinking. I mean, they've lost their minds. Okay? Because to heal is the work of God. Amen? To heal is the work of God. What's the point of coming to a synagogue or the temple? You know, what's the point of going to worship if healing isn't part of it? We need to be healed. Now, Jews in the last 20 years, in response to Christian healings, and guys like Benny Hinn on TV, Jews have started having mishaberachs, prayers for the sick. So now they have healing services in a lot of synagogues, trying to get people to come in, and they say prayers of healing over them. But it's not the same, because they never used to do it. When I grew up, nobody ever prayed for healing for me or for anybody that I knew. It wasn't done in the synagogue. It's a new thing. Okay. Keeping the law. The fact is that since the temple was destroyed and the sacrificial altar torn down in the year 70 AD, it has been impossible to observe the 613 commandments, to keep the Torah. It's been impossible. Many of which deal with priests, with the temple, with animal sacrifice. Jeremiah told us that my Jewish ancestors broke God's covenant. And for you Jewish people watching, if you read Jeremiah 31:31 in your bar mitzvah or bat mitzvah Bible, your Jewish Bible, if you read Jeremiah, Yirmiyahu 31:31, it tells you that our ancestors broke the covenant with Moses. So if you feel that you're under the Mosaic covenant, you're deceived, because it says, behold, says the Lord, days are coming when I will make a new covenant, a brit charasha, with the children of Israel and the children of Judah. Not like the one I made with their ancestors, my covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant I will make with them in those days, and I will put it on their hearts, and I will write it within them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. So we Jewish people broke God's covenant. And so it's impossible to keep the law. Since 70 AD, it's been impossible because there was no temple after that, no sacrificial system, no altar, no sacrifice, no priesthood. How can you keep all 613 commandments? Many of which, as I said, dealt with priests. Hallelujah. So Jeremiah told us that my Jewish ancestors broke God's covenant, and way back when we were kicked out of the land. Let's look at Deuteronomy 28. Hold your place in Deuteronomy 7. Let's look at Deuteronomy 28. And this is what led me to the Lord. This scripture right here, let's look in verse 60. Verse 58. If you are not careful, this is how I realized sin. If you are not careful to observe all the words of this Torah, of this law, which are written in this book, to fear this honored and awesome name, the Lord your God, then the Lord will bring extraordinary plagues on you and your descendants, even severe and lasting plagues and miserable and chronic sicknesses. He will bring back on you all the diseases of Egypt of which you were afraid, and they will cling to you. Also, every sickness and every plague which, not written in the book of this law, the Lord will bring on you until you are destroyed. Then you shall be left few in number, whereas you were as numerous as the stars of heaven, because you did not obey the Lord your God. It shall come about that as the Lord delighted, as the Lord delighted over you to prosper you and multiply you, so the Lord will delight over you to make you perish and destroy you. You will be torn from the land where you are entering to possess it. Moreover, listen, the Lord will scatter you among all peoples from one end of the earth to the other end of the earth, and there you shall serve other gods, wood and stone, which you nor your fathers have known. Among those nations you shall find no rest, and there shall be no resting place for the sole of your feet. But the Lord will give you a trembling heart. Brothers and sisters, I read this in Newton, Massachusetts. What, Don? I read this in Newton, Massachusetts, and that's not Israel. Okay? It tells you here, God would scatter us for our sins, the Jewish people. We were not meant to be among the nations. We were meant to be in the Holy Land. But God said if we did not keep all his laws, it says that right there in Deuteronomy 28, it says in 28 verse 58, if you are not careful to observe all the words of this Torah, which are written in the book, how much of his Torah were we to keep? All of it. Then we would be scattered among the nations, okay? We would be scattered among the nations. So I was in Massachusetts, and I had an epiphany. Somebody messed up. Why am I in Newton, Massachusetts? I said to my father. I said, Dad, you keep your business open on the Sabbath. You know, we've broken God's law. You don't keep Shabbat. You work on the Sabbath. You know, and Dad said, son, you're not qualified to read that, to understand that book. Put that book down. That's the way Jewish people teach, and Catholics too. You're not qualified to interpret that book. Put that thing down. Right, Diane? Priests. The priests don't let the people interpret the sermons. They don't. I mean, I know that from dealing with priests. You know, they do the readings. Orthodox too. Orthodox priests. You know, the lay people, we're just dumb sheep. We don't, you know, we're not considered knowledgeable. So my dad said, put that thing away, kid. You don't, even though you have 2 years of law school and 4 years of college, which I thought to myself, I didn't argue with my dad, but I thought, you know, I've got 2 years of law school and 4 years of college. If I'm not qualified to derive a value from this book, who is? Okay, reading on. Paul told us in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So nobody but Yeshua has ever kept Torah perfectly. There is only one who has ever kept Torah perfectly, and his name is Yeshua. No human being has ever kept the law perfectly, not even Abraham, not even Moses, not even Aaron, not even Jeremiah, not Isaiah, the man of unclean lips, not David, murderer, fornicator, adulterer. Yeah, go on, list goes on, you know. And God said David was his beloved. Okay? Nobody but Yeshua has ever kept the Torah perfectly. Galatians 3:24 says, therefore the law, or the Torah, became our tutor to lead us to Messiah so that we may be justified by faith. The Torah became our tutor so that we may be justified to lead us to Messiah. God gave us the Torah to point us to the Messiah. So Christians mess this up all the time. They say, Christ is the end of the law. Well, if they ever just looked up the word end, it's telos, like telescope. The word end, Christ is the end of the law, is telos. And telos, like telescope, is what points you, if you've got a telescope on your rifle, It you aim, the telescope helps you hit the what? The target. So telos means target or goal. So the translation, Christ is the end of the law, is wrong. The word is Christ is the target of the law. Christ is the goal of the law. Christ is what the Torah is pointing to. And that's what Paul says in Galatians 3:24. Therefore, the Torah has become our tutor to lead us, to point us to Messiah so that we may be justified by faith. So throughout Jewish history, since the Torah was given, nobody has been able to keep it perfectly. That was the point. It was meant to show us that God is perfect and we are not. Good preaching, Rabbi. That's why we needed a Savior. A Messiah. It is through believing in his righteousness that we are saved. We believe in him, we are counted, if we believe in him, we are counted sinless because of his sinlessness. His sinlessness is applied to us. There is nothing we can do to make ourselves holy or sinless. Lord, I am wretched. I am failure at keeping your Torah, as your law. I've broken your laws, but because of your sinlessness, I apply your sinlessness to my life, and I receive your justification, your righteousness upon myself is what makes me sinless. Nothing of my own, not my works, not my good deeds. I can't earn my way to heaven. It's your righteousness alone and my faith and what you did for me on the cross at Calvary in Jerusalem in Israel. Your man from Bethlehem who lived in Nazareth, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, the Jewish Messiah, the King of the Jews. Isaiah 64:6 says, for all of us have become like one who is unclean. That's in the Jewish Bible, in case you're watching, you don't know your own Bible. For all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like filthy rags. The actual translation is menstrual cloths. All of our righteous deeds are like menstrual cloths, and we will all And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind take us away. For all of us, I'll read it again, have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds, all our good works are like filthy rags to God. God isn't impressed. I don't know what Paul Newman believed, but I don't believe he believed in Jesus. And anybody, he advertised $200 million given to charity on his dressings. Now, he makes some pretty good salad dressings, but all that, you know, all those good deeds and all the people who give to charities who aren't doing it for Jesus because Jesus told them to are, it's filthy rags to God. God could care less that the Rotary Club gives money to if we're not doing it because Jesus told us to, and the Rotary Club gives millions of dollars, and the Bill Gates Foundation, and I'm a Rotarian, the Bill Gates Foundation matches our gifts dollar for dollar to end polio, you know, and that's a good and worthy cause. But if Yeshua isn't calling us to end polio and we're giving millions of dollars to do it, then it's a waste. It's filthy rags to God. So all the people who give money in the world who don't do it because Yeshua told them to do it are wasting their time and their money. Praise the Lord. Excuse me, I get a little fired up. Got a joke for you. Okay, so there was this American guy. He heard that there was this yogi up in the mountains in the Himalayas. So he decides to take a trip over there to India, and he hikes through India and Nepal, and he ends up in Bhutan, and he goes way up high in the Himalayas to find this spiritual guru, you know, sitting up there in the mountains. Why? Because he heard that this guy had the meaning of life, that this man knew the meaning of life. So he hikes all this way, and he's going through India, and he's hiking through the mountains, and he's you know, suffering. And he's you know, it's the Himalayas. I mean, that's the Mount Everest is in the Himalayas, okay? You know, he's suffering, he's agonizing to find this yogi, this guru. And he finally finds him in Bhutan, up in the mountains in a shrine. And he asks the man, he says to him, he says, "I'm told that you have you know the meaning of life." And the man, the priest, the monk, he's a monk. And he sits there for a couple minutes quietly, and he ponders. And then he says, life is a river. And the American man was just, he was in utter shock. He was stunned. He was just, wow, blown away. And he says, "Just to be sure I understand what you're saying, you're saying that life is a river?" And then the monk says to him, he says, "Life isn't a river?" Okay, let's go on. Oh, Lord, some people go a long way to find the truth and they don't find it. Beware of any church or synagogue that claims to be Torah observant. I'll say that again. Beware of any church or synagogue that claims to be Torah observant. There's no such thing. There are tons of Christian groups out there playing Jewish, but Numbers 15, 14 through 17 makes it very clear that anyone who wants to keep Torah or observe the law has to do it in a Jewish house. It's Numbers 15. The law tells us that. The Torah tells us. Numbers 15, 14 through 17 tells Gentiles, if you want to hang out and keep Shabbat and keep Passover and keep kosher and do all these things and wear prayer shawls and pretend to be a Jew, that you got to hang out with Jews and do it in a Jewish house. The Torah tells us to do that. But you got all these groups out there observing Torah and having Torah studies, and they're not under the authority, or they're not in a Jewish house. This is a Jewish house. Okay? All right. So what they are, so the Torah makes it very clear that the Torah is for Jews and those who sojourn, dwell among Gentiles, who sojourn among Messianic Jews in today's world. When Gentiles play Jewish without a Jewish covering, it's called a church. With doctrinal error. When Gentiles, there's, you know, a lot of churches out there. And a lot of them have their own beliefs. You know, the Apostolic Church believes in Acts 2:38, you've got to be baptized in the name of Jesus. If you're not baptized in the name of Jesus, or even in their church in some cases, you're not really a Christian. If you're not baptized in the Church of Christ, you're not a true believer. If you're not a Catholic, you're not a true believer. You're not saved. Okay? If you're not, and many churches, if you're not dunked or saved in their religion, this is truth. If you're Catholic, and if you're not a Catholic, Catholic Church doesn't consider you a believer. Okay? You're not a saint. Okay? If you're not baptized in the Church of Christ, in some Christian churches, you are not saved. They consider you not saved. They don't believe that you have to be born again. Okay? All right, let me go on. All right, so what is the church that plays Jewish? It's a church with strange doctrine, is what it is. Is what it is. All right, let's focus here. Hebraic roots, two house, Ephraimite, sacred namers. It's all just Christians playing Jews. Revelation 3 says, I will turn to Revelation 3 for a second. This is a serious warning, and people think I'm being mean, but I'm not being mean. I'm trying to help people not have this happen to them. God says in the Church of Philadelphia, the congregation of Philadelphia, he says, behold, verse 9, I will cause those of the synagogue of Satan who say that they are Jews and are not. So those who have fake synagogues, okay, who say that they are Jews but are not, I will make them come and bow down at your feet and make them know that I have loved you. I wouldn't want to be one of those people, one of those fake Jews in a church that's pretending to be Jewish. Join a messianic synagogue. It's much better for you. And if you really believe in the Torah, read Numbers 14, verse 15 through 17. Thank you. This has been a public service announcement. Okay. John 10, two sheepfolds. Yeshua said in John 10, I have sheep from another fold. He was talking to his Jewish disciples in verse 14. John 10, he says, telling his Jewish disciples, it was around Hanukkah time, and Yeshua said to his Jewish disciples, he says, I have sheep from another fold that you know not of, and I must bring them too also. And the two groups, remember, two scoops of raisins in every box of Kellogg's Raisin Bran? The two will be made one. What happens to those two scoops when you put them in a box of Kellogg's Raisin Bran? You can't tell there's two scoops. How do you know? Because they're all just one. Same thing with us. God says, I have sheep from another fold that you know not of, and I must bring them too, and together they will be one flock with one shepherd. So who are the two folds? The Messianic Jews and Messianic believers, brothers and sisters. I don't look at you and say, there's William the Gentile, you know. There's Brother William, you know. There's my Brother William there sitting there who just packed the driveway the other day. If you notice, now some of you came in late, did you notice the driveway was patched? And Wendell and David and William and Charlie came the other day, and they spent several hours, and they had a great fellowship together. And they patched the driveway all over the place. You can look afterward as you're driving out. That big hole that was down there at the bottom was. So let's give a round of applause. Thank you. And you know what? They had a good time doing it. They had a good time doing it. So praise God. All right. So nobody's Torah observant. So beware of any group. And when a lot of people watch TV, some of you guys watch the internet. Any group that claims to be Torah observant is phony. It's phony baloney. It's phony as a $3 bill. Okay, we are not Torah observant. I'm going to tell you what we are, though. So John 10, two sheepfolds. John 17 says that. This is worth reading. Let's turn to John 17. This is beautiful. This is beauty perfected. John 17. I love this. Okay. Yeshua says in John 17, he says, the glory, he says in verse 19, for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask on behalf of these who are here, but for those also who believe in me through their word. That's you and me. And then he says, that they may all be one. Even as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, so that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. Wow. So Yeshua is in the Father, and the Father is in Yeshua, and the Father is in the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is in the Father, and Jesus is in the Holy Spirit. But wait a second, Matthew 1:18 says the Holy Spirit conceived a child in Mary. If Jesus is the Holy Spirit, can he be his own father? No. So oneness means we're in unity, and it goes on to say that in verse 22. The glory which you have given me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you have loved me. Hallelujah. What he's talking about, oneness, he's talking about unity. He's not saying the Son is the Father. He's not saying the Father is the Son. He's not saying that the Son is the Holy Spirit. He's saying there are three different, unique, individual people, the persons, not human beings, but persons, you know, with personalities, different what? Entity, but essence? Aspect. They're living, it's God. I don't want to call God an entity, but you know what I'm saying? It's hard to say. A living being, they're living. God is alive, the Father. There's God the Son. I'm not trying to belittle what you're saying, but I'm just trying to say it in a, you know, they're persons. They're real. They're alive. And so you've God the Father and God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They're all separate. They're all completely unique, but yet they're God. And they're all God. And that they are one. And he prays that we would be perfected in unity with them so that the world may believe. So what's he saying? He wants us to be perfected, to be in unity with them to be in unity with us, and us to be within unity with each other, Jew and Gentile, the church, and the messianic community. This is the first time in history that a messianic community can exist, and a church. In the first century, there was a messianic community, but there was no church. In the first century, there was a messianic community. When the apostles lived, there was no church. There was just messianic Jews like me. I'm like Peter. I'm like John. I may be better looking, or maybe not as good looking. I don't know. But, you know, there was Matthew. There was Mark. There was James. There was Nathaniel. There was Philip. Hallelujah. There was Mary Magdalene. You know, I got nothing on her. But, you know, seriously, there were all these Jews, and they were worshiping in a Jewish synagogue. They were keeping Shabbat, as it says in Luke 4:1, as it was his custom. Yeshua went to the synagogue on the Sabbath. Hallelujah. So they were going to synagogue on the Sabbath. They were going to the temple in Jerusalem on the holidays and festivals. They were living as Jews. That's what messianic Jews do. I'm just a modern version, all right? that God sent here to be one with the church. God loves the church. I love the church. We love the church. But some non-Jewish people are called to be messianic. You know why? It's a high calling. If God's called you to be messianic, it's a very high calling. You know why? Because Jews aren't following. They're not being obedient to God to come. So God says, if the Jews won't do it, I'll take anybody. I'll use Gentiles. And I'll make them priests. Read Isaiah 66, the very end. He says, I will make some of them priests in my house. And he says to Gentiles who join with the Jewish people in Isaiah 56, he says, the Gentile says, let not the Lord who has joined himself to the Gentile say, the Lord will separate me from his people. Well, who were God's people in Isaiah 56? The Jews. Okay? So he says, let not the Gentile, the eunuch, the foreigner who has joined himself to the Lord say, the Lord will surely separate me from his people. And the Lord says to the Gentile who keeps my Sabbaths, who does what pleases me, to him or her I will give a name better than sons or daughters, and I will bring them to my holy mountain, and in Jerusalem, and I will make my house a house of prayer for all nations. Amen. Hallelujah. That's for the sojourner who does not. See, a lot of people believe they're grafted in just because they believe in Jesus. You got to graft into the Jews. You got to graft into the Jewish people. And the Jewish people, we need to graft into the non-Jewish people. So we got to graft into each other. As I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, and perfected in unity. We need to be perfected in unity, Jew and Gentile. And that's so that the world may believe. The greatest revival in world history is coming because for the first time in history, there's a Gentile house called the church. And then notice they don't celebrate Jewish Sabbaths and Passovers and things. And the reason they don't, for the most part, most of them, is because they don't have Torah because they're not under Jewish covering. God didn't give them Torah. And we celebrate Jewish stuff, not to the letter, but according to the Spirit. Okay. So the key to revival, world revival, is when the Jew, Messianic Jews and the church come together as one that the world might believe. This is the first time in history when that can happen. Amen. God loves the church, but we were meant to be together as one. Okay, I've only got 6 more pages. No, just kidding. As for the law of Moses, for the law of the Spirit of life in Messiah Yeshua has set you free from the law of sin and death. Romans 8:2. So the Torah of the Spirit of life in Messiah Yeshua, the New Covenant, the Torah of the New Covenant has set you free from the Torah of sin and death of Moses. You see, God's talking about two Torahs, two laws. That's why the church doesn't celebrate Jewish holidays, because they weren't given them. As we can see here, there are two different Torahs. The Torah of Moses is not the same as the New Covenant. The Torah of Yeshua, although the Torah of Jesus intersects with the Torah of Moses, mostly on the issues of the morality, ethics, and love, Yeshua did not preach the 613 commandments in the New Covenant. What he did require was in Acts 15:20, and this is virtually my last scripture, and let's just read this. This is what God required of Gentiles. Acts 15 was the Jerusalem Council. Paul and Barnabas had gone out among the Gentiles, and there were these Judaizers that were wanting the Gentiles to get circumcised. And I do perform Gentile circumcision. I have a ninja sword down in my office, and I like to do it in the back of William's old Lincoln Continental from the 1970s. It gives a smooth ride. And if anybody would like to be circumcised after service, I'll be glad to take you out there, and we'll take care of business. No, but seriously, You gotta have a sense of humor. Seriously, there were Jews that were wanting the Gentiles to be circumcised, and Paul was fighting it, and there was a big debate in Acts 15, the council at Jerusalem, and James made a judgment about it. He was the leader. And it says in verse 13, after they had stopped speaking, James answered, saying, "Brethren, listen to me. Simeon," or Shimon, "has related how God first concerned himself, taking from among the Gentiles a people for his name, with the words of the prophets agree, just as it is written, 'After these things I will return and will rebuild the tabernacle of David, which has fallen. I will rebuild its ruins and I will restore it, so that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord, and all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord, who makes these things known from long ago.' Therefore it is my judgment that we do not trouble those who are turned to God from among the Gentiles," verse 20, "but that we write to them that they abstain from things contaminated by idols, from fornication, from what is strangled, food that is animals that are strangled," like, Wendell, don't go hunting and strangle a deer, "and from blood." Don't eat blood. That's what all the four requirements. In order for Gentiles to have basic fellowship with Jews, that's all that God required initially. But listen, go on. He says in verse 21, "For Moses from ancient generations has in every city those who preach him, since he is read in the synagogues every Sabbath." In other words, hey, you non-Jewish people, can you still hear me? I just whacked my thing. Am I still on? Okay. He says, hey, you non-Jewish folks, you don't have to do all this stuff that the Jews do, but, you know, if you want to go to the synagogues and learn Torah and keep the Sabbath, and you want to do Passover, and you want to keep kosher, and you want to learn all the law, you want to hear the Torah, like Anthony teaches Torah, or I teach Torah, you want to hear it, learn about it, go to the synagogue, for it's preached in every city. It's not a, I have to do, let me say this, it's not an I have to do this. It's an I get to do this. I get to do this. Now, I don't get to do this. I was called to do this. And some of you may have been called to do this. So for some folks, it's not an I get to, it's an I'm called to. How many of you are called to this? You know it in your heart, if you're called to it. So if you're called to it, it's, you know, you really, it isn't an I get to, it's an I'm called to. But it's not, and I'll read the verse. Hallelujah. Almost done here. So, but if a non-Jew wanted to study more and hang out with Jews, James added, "For Moses is preached in every city. The law of Christ is the message of the gospel." The law of Christ is the message of the gospel. It's not in the Old Testament. People were blinded. It says they had blinders on. Those who read only the Old Testament had blinders on. But when they read the New Testament, somewhere it says in the New Testament, when they read the New Testament, the scales fall from their eyes. And they become believers, because the law of the New Testament, the New Covenant, is the gospel. And that is, the gospel has the power to set people free, not the Torah. The gospel is that Yeshua is the Son of God, that he is the Messiah, that he died for our sins on Passover, that he was buried 3 days and three nights in the tomb, that he rose from the dead on the third day, conquering the power of sin and death, going down to hell with the keys to Hades, unlocking the gates and setting the captives free, then going up, rising up, seeing over 500 people for 40 days, and then ascending to heaven on the 40th day and leaving us behind and saying, go and make students, disciples out of all nations, teaching them to keep my commandments, to be messianic, essentially. Teaching them to be messianic. And do what I taught you. He says, and do what I showed you. But the key thing isn't to tithe cumin and dill. The key things that he taught us was to love one another. How shall this message is called, How Shall I Come Before the Lord? Loving mercy, walking justly, walking righteously, walking sinless, walking in. You can tell somebody who's a good person. You're drawn to them. You know they're not going to hurt you. You know they're going to be kind to you. You know they're going to do good things to you because they're you know their nature. When you get to know somebody after a while, so it takes a while to get to know somebody. Sometimes you can spot. Okay, no comments from the peanut gallery after the service. Okay, all right. Let's. So it does really take a while to get to know somebody good, and sometimes you can know somebody's not good pretty quick. That's true. Like if they're a bank robber and they stick a gun in your face, like, okay, this person's not really a Christ follower. Okay, you know, I would not trust this person to babysit my granddaughter. Okay. So the law of Christ, but the Torah teaches us how to be civilized. The law of the new covenant teaches us how to be saved, how to have eternal life, how to walk in love and mercy and live the Torah, the real essence of the Torah. Somebody said essence. To live the essence of the Torah, of what it was really about, to love your neighbor as yourself, to be merciful, to take care of the sick, to take care of the widow and the orphan, to feed the poor, to give your brother a helping hand, to lift him up, your brother who's fallen down, to lift him up, to help the person who needs a step up, help him, you know, to preach salvation, that Yeshua is the Lord, that he is the healer, that he is the Savior, that we have eternal life through him, that he's the one, he's our Passover, he's our atonement on Yom Kippur, he's the one who atones for our sins, he's the one who gives us our name in the book of life. And but the Torah teaches us how to be civilized. If we read the Torah, if Gentiles, as they did, read the Torah, King James Bible and all that, once they got to be able to read it, after they got through Latin, which they didn't understand, only the priests understood it. That's why I was saying they didn't want the people to know. It was in Latin earlier. Yeah, that's what I was talking about. Gotcha. We're copacetic. Okay, so in other words, they didn't want to keep the people dark because it was Latin, but when they translated the Bible to English, people got to read the law, the Torah, and they learned how to be civilized, how to be sanitary, to wash their hands, how to put someone who's sick out of the camp, not live in a house with someone who has leprosy or plague, how to clean and not to live as barbarians. Therefore, as Messianic believers, we believe that the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. So how shall I come before the Lord? But we still believe that the Torah is value, that it teaches us how to walk, how to live, how to be civil, how to, you know, how God intended for us to be deal with each other. I meet a lot of New Testament only believers, and they're out fornicating and doing all kinds of stuff they shouldn't be doing, and they don't know that the Torah says it's a no-no, and so they say grace. It's grace. Can do it because it's grace. I'm not under the law. I've heard this a million times. I'm not under the law. It's grace. No, I'm sorry. It's not grace. Grace is, this is what grace is. Grace is, you're in a sheep pen with a fence around it. And grace is when you accidentally you sneak out of the sheep pen and the shepherd goes and gets you. But when you run out of the sheep pen and take off down the street, take off down the trail, you run out of the sheep pen because you're not following the Lord, that's not grace. If you accidentally, the sheep pen opens and you kind of step outside for a couple minutes, you know, or a day or two, you know, that can be grace. But grace isn't, I'm going to go out and commit adultery, I'm going to do whatever I please. I'm going to rob a bank. I'm going to get drunk. I'm going to commit adultery and all these things. I'm going to lie. I'm going to steal, and call it grace. No, that's mocking God. How shall I come before the Lord? Believe in Yeshua, walk humbly, love mercy, do justly, and love one another. Thank you for listening. If you want to get a tape of this message, you can order it by calling our ministry. Our phone number's on the website. God bless you, folks who've been watching on Facebook and on the internet. God bless you, folks who are here. If anyone came in late and you'd like to bring your gifts to the Lord, the boxes are here. Let's stand up. I want to bless you. Hallelujah. And the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron that this is how you shall put my blessing upon the people. Yivrechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha. Yaher Adonai panavelecha v'chunecha. Yisa Adonai panavelecha. Vayesem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you shalom, peace, in the name of Yeshua our Messiah. Shabbat shalom. Greet one another. Welcome one another. There's lunch served down in the fellowship hall. Shabbat shalom. Come and join us. Friends watching on the internet and Facebook. And thank you.